Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Two very important people here from, well, I'm going to put it together, and Sam, I know you're going to correct me.
Not at all.
But CAPS, which is the Community Advancing Public Safety Group, and the Victim Advocacy Unit, the VAU, with the Colorado Springs Police and Fire Departments. Sam McAfee-Aker. I did it, girl. I did it. I always want to go McAfee. I don't know why. Why do I always do that?
I don't know.
I don't
but you
either.
Got it.
But
we're
Sam McAfee-Aker, volunteer specialist for the VAU, is here. And Pat Kuhl. Like that.
Kuhl.
I knew it. I was Ruhl. Kuhl. It's a Kuhl name.
Thank
Did you.
Did
you like that?
Yeah.
Pat Kuhl, who has been a volunteer with CAPS for a long time, also part of the Victim Advocates Advocacy Unit. Thank you both for coming in. You know, it's a very important conversation we're going to have today about volunteering and being a part of the Victim Advocacy Unit and how to get involved and the important role it plays in our community. But I think we should kind of start with an overall, shouldn't we, you guys, about, do you want to kind of start with, because the process to become a volunteer goes through CAPS, but it's with the Victim Advocacy Unit, with the CSPD and CSFD. So how would you like to start framing this, Sam? We're going to start with you. Like, what's the best way to kind of put this all together so folks understand?
Absolutely. Renee, thank you so much for having us on.
Oh,
we really
absolutely.
Appreciate this opportunity. As you've talked about, we're with the Colorado Springs Police Department Victim Advocacy Unit. Our unit provides services to crime victims within the city of Colorado Springs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
And so ultimately, what we're looking for is volunteers to help us provide those services.
Right.
Last year, our unit alone provided services to almost 12,000 victims. And so we have an academy coming up in January, and we're looking for individuals who might be interested in volunteering. What has to happen is they go through CAPS, as you mentioned, which is Community Advancing Public Safety. That is our, in essence, volunteer unit
right.
that does the onboarding for any volunteers that might come into the Colorado Springs Police Department, CSFD, as you mentioned, and Office of Emergency Management. So individuals would go through the CAPS process, which involves a civilian background. It also does involve a polygraph. And then once we get them through that onboarding, then our academy, which starts in January, is basically a 9-week academy, 72 hours in which we provide training to give them the tools that they need to be able to assist crime victims, again, within the city of Colorado Springs.
Right.
And that's ultimately why we're here, is we're wanting to get the word out. We need people to understand we need them. We need dedicated volunteers. And it's definitely not for the faint of heart. And that's why I brought Pat with me today, is that she can definitely talk about that. She's been with our unit for about 8 years, been with CAPS for about 16 years.
Yeah.
And we just want to share some of her experiences and let people know how badly we need people to help us assist victims, particularly on scene. We do have office shifts that they can choose from as well, but we're really looking for on-call volunteer victim advocates to go through our training and then come on board with our unit.
So really quick, and Pat, like, excuse me, Sam said you have been a CAPS volunteer for, several years.
I am.
And then you became involved with the Victim Advocacy Unit.
Yes, I did.
So how long ago have you so you still volunteer for both, right? CAPS
I do.
And for VAU.
Yes, I do.
So what inspired you to become involved with both CAPS and then become a victim advocate?
I will tell you that there was a tragedy at my home. There was an accident from someone who was working at my house. These were painters who fell onto my patio, and I quickly realized that I needed to help in some way. I will tell you that I am a Spanish speaker. These people happen to be Spanish speaking. I found myself in an ambulance on the way to the Memorial Hospital, and where Memorial was so happy to have me interpret and explain what had happened. The police department was there on scene just to make sure that what the nature of this event was, and I realized how valuable my skill was, and I didn't want to walk away from that scene.
Yeah.
I saw an ad in the Gazette newspaper that said that the Colorado Springs Police Department needed volunteers to interpret, and I also thought of victims of crime. I saw that the Victim Advocacy Unit was needing volunteers also, and that began a long relationship that I have with the Colorado Springs Police Department as a victim advocate as well as a Spanish language interpreter.
Now, for the most part, and Sam, you're going to help clarify like the different types of all there's in office.
Absolutely.
And then there's the ones that go out. and are there, are called out to help victims on the scene. Is that correct,
Pat? Correct.
Is that correct?
And I've served in both of those roles and presently serve in both of those roles.
Yeah. And so, Sam, you kind of mentioned it does kind of take a special person, doesn't it, to be, and look, we're not trying to sugarcoat it.
We are definitely not. You know, as I mentioned, you can't be faint of heart. When we run you through our academy, we try to expose you to everything that you might be exposed to when you go out and assist crime victims. But you have to be flexible, for one thing. We're calling you at all hours of the night, day. There are times you just finished a case and you've got another one waiting for you. So definitely got to have some stamina and an openness to just be able to assist people where they are. Because our role is to provide them information and resources and give them guidance of what's available. We're definitely not making choices for people. And so coming with an open mind, and I think just with grace and compassion, is huge.
Right. Absolutely. And is that what attracted you to being a victim advocate?
Absolutely. There had been a number of instances in my life where I had seen victims and thought, or read information in the newspaper about a crime and thought, that is so sad. Now what? What happens with these families? So it really begins in a volunteer role from a sense of compassion. And then I live in this community where I have lived for more than 35 years. It's time for us to all give back. And this is an excellent way in which you can do something except feel bad. You can actually participate and make the community a better place for victims.
Okay, hold those thoughts, girls. We do have to, ladies, girls, you know, we're hanging out. We got to take a break. We'll be back with Sam and Pat next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking about the Victim Advocacy Unit with the Colorado Springs Police Department, also assists the Fire Department, correct, and the Office of Emergency Management. And volunteers that are needed. Sam McAfee-Aker is a volunteer specialist. Hi, Sam. It's good
Hi,
to
Renee.
See you again.
Thanks for having us.
And volunteer Pat Kuehl. Girl, I did it that time.
You did. Mm-hmm. That was correct. Yes. Thank you.
Who is a volunteer and a victim advocate. And thank you both for joining us. And I want to make sure that folks understand being a victim advocate volunteer, and that's what we're here to talk about, Academy starting on January 13th. And Pat, we were talking in the break, and you brought up a very good point. And to understand what crimes get victim advocates, what crimes don't, and folks need to understand, because again, we're not trying to sugarcoat this. If you want a passion and help folks, this is a great way to do it. But you do have to be ready. These are major crimes.
Absolutely. So there is a law in the state of Colorado that Sam can address in detail called the Victim Rights Act, and it basically covers all major crimes. For example, if someone comes into your house and steals your television, the police department is not going to send a victim advocate. If someone comes into your home, unfortunately, while you are there and points a gun at you and steals your TV, that is considered a major crime, and you will receive victim advocacy services from the police department.
Okay.
So we are talking serious major crimes where your person is going to be at risk.
Okay. And I think that helps clear that up, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Our unit targets crimes against persons cases. I think that's the easiest way to think about it. So domestic violence cases, assault cases, robbery cases, sexual assault cases, any crime where you have one person that does something directly to another person.
Okay.
And so if you're working an office shift in our unit, you're going to be contacting victims by phone or by mail within 72 hours of that incident occurring.
Okay.
Or depending on the type of situation, if you work an on-call rotation, you might be responding within an hour on a crime scene or to a substation or the hospital to assist a victim who has maybe been violently assaulted. That could include victims of kidnapping, again, robbery, domestic violence, survivors of various violent crimes.
So I just want to make sure that we understand the process of the victim advocacy unit. So say, Pat, you would be called out in the first hour or however.
Correct.
And that you would go out and you would be on scene for those victims.
Correct.
A lot of times, actually, officers call you and say, can you please come out, mm-hmm. right?
That's exactly.
Well, there is a chain of command, okay. and the response time is 1 hour. Okay. Officers will tell dispatch, we need a victim advocate. Victim advocate will contact the paid or staff victim advocate, and they will contact and call out volunteers that are on call.
Okay.
Once I receive that phone call from the staff advocate, I have 1 hour to arrive on scene with the police officer. I could be responding on scene. I could go to a police substation. I could go to one of the hospitals.
Okay. And then once you stay on scene or at the substation or for however long is needed.
For however long is needed. Okay. It could be simply 45 minutes. It could be an hour. It could be 6 hours or 7 hours.
Okay. And then once that you've made that initial contact, been there to support that victim and help them, then that's when the follow-up happens, Sam. Is that right? At the office?
That is
within
correct.
72 hours then. The victim advocacy unit follows up with that victim, it sounds like.
Yes, and then cases that Pat might be responding on unseen, that's eventually going to get assigned to a staff advocate.
Okay.
And so our unit actually provides follow-up at 3 months, 6 months, and a year on those cases as well. So we stay involved with victims pretty much throughout that process. Our goal is to be on scene. We want victims to know what resources are available, what is the next step after an officer leaves, and then ultimately if the case is prosecuted, we want to hand those victims off in better shape than if they hadn't had a victim advocate and pass them off to a DA victim advocate where they will be assisted through the court process. But our staff advocates, as well as some of our volunteers, stay in touch with victims. So anything that might come up that they need resources for, we can help provide that.
Well, and I'm sure, and you both can speak to this, you know, if victims of major crimes, I'm sure that, you know, the last thing they're thinking about is themselves, really. I'm sure you guys see all of it, but, you know, I have to take care of myself. And I'm sure you guys absolutely contribute to that thought process. Like, you need to take care of yourself after this major incident or your family, or you know what I'm saying.
But it's interesting to note the trauma process.
Right.
Victims can be, the word we use is traumatized, but what does that really mean?
Yeah.
That means that victims are kind of frozen. They don't know, what do I do? It's not like you have your everyday life and a terrible crime happens to you and that you automatically can figure out what my next steps are.
Right.
We are there hand in hand. Sometimes on scene, all we do is sit and listen.
Okay.
All we do is quietly provide services, knowing that this may go in one ear and out the other because victims are in trauma.
Yeah.
And that may last for a while. And that's why our staff advocates are so good about following up. Once the fight or flight and the absolute trauma state subsides a bit, now perhaps victims are really ready to hear, okay, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Help me.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we got so much more to talk about, but we have to take a quick news break. We will have more next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with Sam McAfee-Aker. She is the volunteer specialist for the Victims Advocacy Unit with the Colorado Springs Police Department. Also, volunteer Pat Kuhl is here, volunteers with CAPS, and also is a victim advocate. Okay, let's shoot out some really important. We do have people contacting us, Sam, so let's shoot out some important info. How folks can, first of all, let's talk about if they would like to reach out to the, not necessarily for volunteers, to volunteer. And go to the academy, the training, but if they need victim advocacy services.
Absolutely. So if you have a case that falls under the jurisdiction of the Colorado Springs Police Department, you are more than welcome to call our victim advocacy unit, which is 719-444-7777. Daytime, I can almost guarantee that'll be answered. If you're calling after hours, you can certainly leave a message and someone will call you back as soon as possible.
Okay.
If you are interested in becoming a volunteer victim advocate, we would encourage you to start with the CAPS process, and you would go to www.springscaps.org. And again, that's www.springscaps.org. It's a very basic online application. CAPS personnel will get your application, and then they will contact you personally to get more personal information.
Okay.
If you have questions in regards to our victim advocacy unit and what it means to be a volunteer victim advocate, I'm more than welcome you to give me a call. And again, it is Sam McAfee-Aker, and my number is 719-444-7927.
Okay.
I'm happy to spend some time talking to you about this.
Well, and we were kind of talking in the break, and again, I just really want to touch on that. Okay, and again, I really quick want to give out that number. Sorry, before we kind of shift gears, but again, if you were needing the advocacy services, like you said, it falls under CSPD jurisdiction.
Yes.
444-7777.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I just want folks to understand the process again and the types of volunteers, but really what you're looking for is volunteers that go out, like you do, Pat.
Yes, I do.
When called out to a major crime.
That is correct.
And, but, so the volunteer would go out within, and if not all is called, there aren't volunteers or staff members called out to every crime.
Correct.
Okay. But if they still, if something happens within the 72-hour process, somebody from the office could call them.
Absolutely.
They can get into the victim advocacy process and support them through when they go through, say, the DA's office till their case is handed to the DA's office.
That's correct. Yes.
Now, we were talking about safety planning, and you help these victims with safety planning. Can you help explain that?
For example, I also volunteer in the office afternoons during the week, and I will call a victim that perhaps has not received direct services on scene and call them and say, I understand you have been a victim of a crime. How are you doing since your latest contact with police? Depending on the nature of the crime, and mostly in safety planning, we generally are talking about victims of domestic violence.
Okay.
Or we could be talking about a victim who's the suspect has not been located or arrested.
Okay.
So where do you live? Are you safe in your home? Does the suspect know where you work? Does the suspect know your daily routine? You might want to change your daily routine, or have the locks or the windows been secured in your home? Do you have someone that perhaps can come and stay with you for a while?
Okay.
Might there be a better place for you to reside until the suspect has been arrested? Sometimes, because of the high lethality of certain victims and their cases, officers will not allow the victim to return back to their home. We can provide thinking, just kind of walk through some of those steps, as well as some limited relocation services.
Okay. That's good to know. I mean, it really is, like you guys have said, it's taking those victims by the hand and walking them through everything. And a lot of times, you guys have mentioned when they call, they're like, wait, what? Because like you said, during the trauma part of it, they literally freeze. Everything freezes.
Absolutely.
And you're there. You may be, you know, communicating with them.
Victims are responding to me. Yes. But I know the glassy look, and it's really not there.
Right.
We know that, and we don't give lots of information initially.
Yeah.
And we know that we may need to circle back. We have a lovely brochure that has lots of, it's really manageable. It's small. It has some basic services that are listed. Do I think a victim is going to sit down right away and read that brochure?
No.
Absolutely not.
And if they do, it's probably just kind of in and out.
But it's a safety blanket.
Absolutely.
It's something they can hold on to.
Absolutely. Well, and I appreciate you guys answering all these questions, because if somebody really thinks like, I want to do this, I mean, Pat, you gave the perfect example. Like, I mean, you had this emergency at your house. You went to the hospital. Officers were there. You speak Spanish, so you could help the officers communicate with the people that were in the accident at your house. And I mean, look at that. That's led to years of a passion for you and helping people in the community. And somebody may be listening going, this is what I would love to be a volunteer as well. And so that's why we're talking about this now.
Absolutely.
So folks can get, first they have to apply, and then they have to get ready for the academy.
Yes.
In January. I would like, not to generalize, because anybody really, if they think they can handle, and look, we've not sugarcoated it at all, you're going to see some hard stuff if you go out, you know, right?
Yes. But it's important for me to note that in volunteering for this position, this is not about you.
Yeah.
This is about you being the best listener, the best person perhaps in the community that has access at your fingertips to a number of resources. Sometimes it's just sitting and listening or asking, what might you need? It isn't about you. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Right.
I don't share what happened to me. It isn't about me. It's just about compassion and empathy.
Right. Which is, I'm so glad you brought that up. So yeah, and understanding and being patient, right?
Absolutely. We're looking for folks who can be open-minded, who are non-judgmental, and really just have the ability to have a listening ear. Common sense is huge in what we do.
Yeah,
in that just,
absolutely.
You know, kind of reading folks, meeting them where they are. As Pat said, we have a ton of resources that we have available, and sometimes victims are ready for that right then, and sometimes they're not. But making sure victims know how to be able to come back to us when they need that information, when they need those resources, and being ready when they're ready.
Okay, so I want to go ahead and take our break now, because when we come back, we've covered so much, but I want to completely dedicate to, here's the process.
Perfect.
Here's how to apply. Here's the process after that. Here's when the academy starts and the basic steps to becoming an advocate.
Sounds okay. Awesome.
So we will have more with Sam and Pat next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking about the Victim Advocacy Unit. Colorado Springs Police Department also supports Fire Department and Office of Emergency Management. Sam McAfee-Aker, volunteer specialist, is here, and volunteer Pat Kuehl is here. And I really wanted, and I hope people wanted to paint a picture of kind of, Pat, your experience, what volunteers can expect going into this. But now let's get down to the nuts and bolts. We do need volunteers for the Victim Advocacy Unit.
Absolutely. I would love to fill my next academy with 50 folks.
Okay. So let's go through. First, you have to apply.
Yes, you do.
So you do that at the CAPS website, which is?
Springscaps.org.
Okay. That's where
you...
A
very basic online application.
Okay.
Super easy. You submit it and CAPS will be in touch with you. They'll get more information and they'll begin your civilian background process.
You do have to go through background
yes.
checks. You do. It's just like, say you're applying for a job as an officer. Right? I mean, that's the best way to put it, right?
Ours is a civilian background, so it's not a sworn background.
As intense, but
yes,
still.
But there is a polygraph involved
in
screenings, yes.
And let's clear it up. Just because marijuana is legal, it does not mean...
Absolutely. With CAPS, you cannot have ingested or smoked marijuana within the last 18 months.
Okay. So just to make that, yes, mm-hmm. it is legal, however...
Right.
In this kind of a volunteer position...
Absolutely. You're going to be driving a governmental car,
right.
Governmental agencies. So we have to make sure that you are safe to drive, you're safe to be in vehicle, or safe to be in people's homes, safe to be with children,
right,
safe
right.
to be with elderly folks.
Okay. So once the application is completed, you start the civilian background check
yes.
process, which includes...
A more intense application,
okay.
Screen interviews with CAPS personnel. It would be interviews with the Victim Advocacy Unit as well. And then a polygraph ultimately is the last step for your background process.
Okay, perfect. You get through that. You get through the application, you get through the background process,
yes.
and then you're approved.
Yes.
Then what happens?
We are starting our academy January 13th. And
okay.
so the academy doesn't guarantee that you have a victim advocacy position. You have to go through our academy, which is 9 weeks. It's Monday and Thursday nights from 6 to 10 p.m. Basically, 9 weeks of intense training. We try to give you a lot of tools that you put in your toolbox so that you can provide resources to victims, understanding trauma-informed approaches, as Pat has talked about.
Yes.
And once you successfully graduate through that academy, then you still have to do on-the-job training. There's 16 hours of office training. And if you move to an on-call position, then you still have on-the-job training as an on-call victim advocate as well. So honestly, you're looking at about 5 to 6 months of pretty intensive training before you are really able to be out on your own as a volunteer victim advocate. And as Pat mentioned, you are never really out on your own as a victim advocate within our unit. You're always going to be under the supervision of a staff advocate. You're going to be in connection with officers, detectives. There's always somebody that you're reporting back to as far as what services or what you're doing with a victim.
You're right. And I think we kind of said this during the break, Pat. It's like you're not showing up at the scene like, I'm Captain America.
No, not at all.
Not at all. You're always answering. You're there to support.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
You are joining as a volunteer of the Colorado Springs Police Department's Victim Advocacy Unit. You are joining a family. It really is. We work hand in hand. It really is like a team, and you have a home base, which is you going out on scene, speaking with the victim. You're in contact with the staff advocate. The staff advocate is in contact with the officer. Perhaps with the officer's supervisor, with sergeants, you're in contact with the officer, you're in contact with dispatch, you are joining a team, and it feels like home after all these years.
That's incredible. Well, thank you for all that you do, Pat. That's incredible. And Sam, I mean, amazing. And I want to review everything, all the contact information. Start applying now.
Absolutely. Yes, we encourage you. If you're interested at all, please feel free to give me a call. It's Sam McAfee Aker, 719-444-7927. We'd love to talk to you if you just have questions or are interested in the program. If you want to apply, go to www.springscaps.org.
And is there info also on that website?
If you go to the Carson Springs Police Department website, you can get a whole big blurb on our victim advocacy unit, which falls under the investigations division.
Wait, I love that word, a blurb. It's a whole blurb.
Absolutely.
May I steal that word?
Absolutely. It's yours.
Blurb.
My gift to you.
Sam, it's a whole blurb. We have to put a little fun in here, but yes. Okay. So on the Colorado Springs Police Department's website.
Yes.
All the info on becoming a victim advocacy unit and then get applied. Remember the background check in the Academy starts January 13th. I just want to make sure everybody understands this. And then about 5 to 6 months training.
Yes.
Okay. Once again, let's put out the information in case, and we again have had folks call this morning if they need to contact about victim advocacy services.
Our main line is 719-444-7777. Again, daytime, they're probably going to get a victim advocate that they can talk to immediately. Okay. If it's after hours, they can certainly leave a message. We encourage them to leave a message because we do have volunteers who come in evenings and weekends. So odds are they're going to get a call back fairly quickly.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. You guys, so much information, and I hope we covered it all.
Renee, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you for coming in, and thank you for sharing, Pat, everything. You know, I could have gone into what was the hardest, but that's, you know, everything that you do and help supporting victims, it's incredible.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Renee.
Awesome. And this is a way to really make a difference in your community.
It absolutely is. Thank you guys both so much for coming in today. Tomorrow on The Extra, very excited, a great conversation. The General Palmer exhibit is getting ready to open at the Pioneers Museum. We'll talk with them tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.